Welcome to the PTMA podcast, another episode of the live Q&A from the guys off the group program. They've come to the end of their 6 weeks now. Still on the group, still asking a load of awesome questions. We go through managing different intakes of group programming via Facebook group and some different options when you're trying to run multiple groups. We talk through things to do to engage with people on the gym floor now that in England the gyms have finally reopened yesterday, which is awesome news. Loads of different questions. They're all in the show notes as usual. Please ping us a question via the email that I popped in there as well. And the final thing is we have now opened up spots for the next business transformation program starting on the 10th of May. And you can apply through the link in the show notes or through the Instagram, which is at AntPTMA, and go to the bio and it'll direct you through there. Hope you get a lot from this week, guys. If you're in England and the gyms have reopened and you're back in training people, really hope you're enjoying it. And yeah, we'll speak to you all soon. So it's another good morning.
Good morning, podcast people. Hope you're well and enjoying, if you're in England, the first couple of days back into the gym. I bet you've had lots of, I wonder what everyone did yesterday. Obviously, it was the biggest international chest day has ever seen. So I bet there was that issue. Bet there was no benches available in any gym in England at any point. Everyone was like five sets of five bench. You know where I would have been, don't you? If I was in there, where would I have been?
Calf raise.
That's it. Calf raises. That's why I'm doing a standing desk at the moment, just so I can do calf raises to condition myself to get back into the gym.
right, let's kick on. I'll ask first. Okay. I hope this makes sense with Facebook groups for paid programs. Once the program is completed and you are then going to have another one the same run after that one. Do you set up a new Facebook group every time or do you close it, remove those in there, reschedule all the content, make any adjustments to the program, then reopen it, adding any clients that are staying on along with the new people? If not that, do you think there is a quick way to copy a group setup to a new group? Just trying to think the best time effective way to do this.
Right, very much depends on if you want. I think what you've done is a nutrition-focused one, then a movement-focused one, then a lifestyle-focused one, if I get that right, over 12 weeks of 4, 4, and 4. It depends if you want the movement-focused guys, the new guys, to have access to the nutrition content. So it very much depends on if you want them to have access to it. And if that's the case, I'd keep the same group and just bin out people who don't stay on. And if that isn't the case and you don't want them to access that type of stuff, then I think it'll just be a case of you then launching a group and scheduling the content again, which is a massive pain in the ass, but obviously that's how your program is then structured, isn't it? So that would be my advice, Nick.
Trying to think of another way. Yeah, it's difficult, that one. The only other way you could do it is instead of having videos scheduled into the Facebook group, you could have one group for everybody for all programs running consistently, because you can just do different accountability bits and pieces, but then people aren't paying for the other group, are they? Yeah, I think that's a short-term fix, what Ant said. But then I do think there's somewhere where, oh, what's that software? Oh, is it Team? Not Team. Oh, what is it?
Team Up.
No. BlueCues, is it?
Oh, Learn Worlds,
which is an online education platform where you can essentially run this type of stuff through it. Yeah, short term, I would say do what Ant recommended. Long term, I'd probably look at some different software to deliver the actual content, just because of that rollover, because otherwise you will be setting up just constant groups all the time, and it'll become, yeah, quite manually intensive, I think. It takes a long time.
Okay, so next question. One of my family members asked about PT. How can I approach this, as it's almost like they expect a big discount? It's a bit awkward, to be honest.
I from experience of many years of training family members on and off, doing programs, doing workouts, doing PT, it never seems to work out in the way that you want to and the way they want it to. A couple of different reasons why. First of all, there's that relationship that you've got all of a sudden got to switch and keep them accountable and have those difficult conversations. And I'm not saying it doesn't work, but in my experience, it unless they're paying full whack, the results don't generally come. So I would, if a family member came to me now, I'd refer them out. I'd refer them to someone else personally. Someone obviously you really trust and whatnot, and who's going to get the results. But having that skin in the game and having that value, I think it's the best for them, because Christ, the amount of programs and stuff that I've done over the years for family members, and it just hasn't kind of followed through. Yeah, that's my opinion. Signed up to EIQ nutrition course. Do you think adding nutrition service to PT is a good idea? Wasn't sure previously, as I'm not qualified as a nutritionist.
Absolutely, and you're on the best course possible for you to do that. I think if you speak to Cara in the group, Cara's currently going through the program. Who else? A couple of others have been through the program with Emma and Amelia on this. And I think it's more so not that you're adding nutrition as a service into your business. It's more that it can become, obviously, like we go through in this, in the pricing side of things, it's a chargeable service anyway, because you're supporting people to stay consistent and applying the principles and all of that. But it's more so going onto that course, you'll have such a level of confidence into all areas of coaching nutrition, in a sense of like motivational interviewing, your awareness of certain things, whether it's PCOS, whether it's the menstrual cycle, whether it's coaching different types of understandings of different kind of eating disorders and when to refer out. That's the type of content that you're going to get from it, plus a huge understanding of nutrition and how to apply it in people's lives, how to communicate effectively with people. So it's not just going to make you great with nutrition, it'll make you a better coach all around. So yes, 100%, and yes, continue to charge for nutrition as a service within your business. With regards to marketing and surveys, would you ask similar questions in each that you put out, so more aimed at the target market, or do you have suggestions of others? Then it breaks up the question. I don't know why it does that. Other themes for them. I've drawn a bit of a blank with ideas for this at the moment.
Marketing and surveys. Yes, similar questions, because the key thing here is that, like, you're constantly looking for the same type of information. So I might change the wording of them. Like, for example, from a, I'll give you some examples here. So from maybe if I'm looking to find out about their frustrations, right? So it could go from something like a question on there could be a quite a closed question with then giving them space to elaborate on. So currently, are you frustrated with the results you're getting from your efforts in your nutrition and exercise routine? Yes or no? And then below it, if yes, what are these frustrations so they can elaborate on? So that's one way you could word it. Another way you could word it is you could do statements that best describe their current situation, and then let them tick and again elaborate afterwards. You could do the frustrations, that those style of questions, to find out a little bit more detail. You could then find out a little bit more about what they feel they need to do going forward, which will give you that more information. So that was just a quick example of the different types or the ways you could put away the same question. Themes, I guess, like, it would, obviously we've gone through a few different themes, I would say, over the last year, where gyms have been open, closing, childcare, kids are back at school, gyms reopening, lockdown lifting, weather, Christmas, that summer, coming up to summer holiday. So you could kind of add those bits and pieces in to make it a bit more relevant for the period of time. But essentially, you're kind of after very similar things, with maybe maybe you just develop the way that you ask them so you draw out more detailed info and feedback. Hopefully that makes sense, mate. So a little about onboarding client: has filled in pre-consultation. Then I have a call. I'm still wary. I'm waffling on what or should you ask in the pre-consult chat to make it more streamlined.
Focusing on their responses. So I would, in a pre-consult call, if you've never met them before, I would probably only look to frame and bring to the table two or maybe three questions off the back of their responses. So the first one, I'm just going to kind of play this out so you've got a practical view on it. The first one would be, it's obviously great that you've got all of this information down, helps me understand you so much more. Can you just dig into and just explain a little bit more on where you've put about you struggle with these types of barriers in the past? Just talk to me a little bit more about how they occur and how they make you feel. And then I'd let them run into that. Off the back of that, that's amazing, because I'm trying to dig out, my main role here in the pre-consult is I'm trying to dig out barriers and triggers to their barriers, so then when they come into my business, I'm aware of them to keep them on track, right? And then it might be another question. So I might dig into that response slightly, but then another question off the back of that might be, you've explained that your current diet and activity is a little bit off, like you've rated yourself 2 or 3 out of 5. Could you just tell me a little bit more about what that looks like right now for you? A little bit about that. And then once I've dug into that, I might then lean into the last question. Okay, cool. So the main aims and the main goals here that you've got is what you've put down here, which is fat loss, and you want to achieve X, Y, and Z. Just explain to me a little bit more about that. Then I've just asked 2 or 3 questions off the back of that. I found out a little bit more about their past, a little bit more about their current situation, and a little bit more about where they want to go. That helps me then really talk up and frame the next stage, which is the consultation. So I would then summarize that whole pre-consult what you've gone through. Really kind of deliver loads of affirmation off the back of it, make them feel great about the next step, and give them a brief explanation about what the next step is. So to get to know you a little bit more, understand your goals, your really wants and needs and stuff like that, and how we can get the best out of you going forward. So they're really excited going into the consult. That would be my response. Next question. What are your top three tips for programming?
First one is make it progressive. Working from sound principles. That's the very first one. Second one is have convenience, ease and safety as your considerations when programming. So convenience, you've got to make it easy for the person to do and apply. You've got to make it convenient for them to be able to, you know, do and actually stay accountable to and adhere to. It's got to be safe. So they've got to feel safe doing it. And you've got to take those into consideration when they're doing it by themselves. And the last one, is going to be consistency. Don't feel like you have to change it every week. Yeah, that's the last one, consistency. Next question. How would you navigate a pre-consult call to avoid going into detail that should be reserved for the consultation? Would you combine a consultation with a free taster session or keep these separate? I was thinking of offering an hour session where 20 to 30 minutes is spent on a consult, 15 fitness testing and 13 circuit or something.
All right, let me tackle the first bit. Navigate a pre-consult, similar to the response I've just given to Jamie, I think it was, who asked that question. So the pre-consult is very much trying to find out a little bit more and explore their past, current situation and where they want to go going forward. What you've got to understand is like most people won't put loads of detail into that form, into that pre-consult form, so that you're not doing it to tick a box. You're doing it to find out more detail, so you've got context to be able to coach from. So very much set up two or three questions that brings out a little bit more about their past, current situation and where they want to go. And that then hopefully frames the consultation to be an amazing goal setting session where you just focus on motivational interviewing in and around where they want to go, how that will make them feel, how they feel in their current situation and what process-based goals they need to put in place to move forward. So that would be the pre-consult and then the consult. I don't think you'd need to deliver a free taster session at the back end of a consultation. Personally, like, I don't think that's needed. That's the consultation is for you to be, like I say, it's a really emotional connect, build an emotional connection with a client and then start to roadmap a plan going forward. The only thing I would say is if you do want to put something practical into the consultation, then I would absolutely at the end of it put a some type of movement screening. Start to put a basic movement assessment or a movement screening at the end of the consult where you can take them on the gym floor, start to focus and look at some types of assessment. So then you can go off. Once you've built out the package, you can then start to program off the back of that consult. So that's all I would say on that. Next one. I think there's two questions here. Yeah, there is. When setting out your 3, 6, and 12-month goals, would you make a spreadsheet with everything on, including annual profits? Or would you keep it all separate? I'll let you take that question first.
Um, If it helps, yeah, 100%. The more, I guess, the more detail you can get down that surround your goals. And obviously financial performance is one of the ones that you will look at all the time to a certain degree, and base probably quite a decent amount of your goals off. So 100%, if it helps, it keeps that goal in mind, it helps you break things down. Absolutely. So if you go back to this webinar we did, where we broke down that kind of yearly P&L, that obviously gives you an understanding of, right, financially, these are my milestones. This is what I'm increasing or sustaining my business at. What does this mean to my business, number of clients, what service they're on, et cetera, et cetera. And then you can link that all the way back to obviously your marketing and whatnot. So yeah, if it helps, 100%.
The next part of the question is a good one. When running the next marketing campaign instead of a survey, is it okay to do a paid group or are marketing campaigns free?
Are marketing campaigns free? I mean, the short answer is 100%, yeah. The short answer is yeah. I guess one of the reasons why we link back to surveys quite a lot and asking questions and doing that market research piece is it engages people. So you can create conversations off the back of it. Now, obviously, if you've got the gym as well now, that's going to be super, super easy to do with just having like your survey or questions on your tablet, for example, on the gym floor, gathering information, getting their email, getting them onto your social media platforms, etc. It is okay to do a paid group, 100%, absolutely. Recognize you'll more than likely get a few less people on there, I would say, versus free. But those people will be, you know, another step up the ladder of that commitment because they'll have, I wrote an email about this, like they'll have that kind of skin in the game. They'll have that value behind it versus it being free. So 100%, mate. And are marketing campaigns free? They, whatever you want it to be. So your marketing campaign, for example, would lead up to that paid group as an example. So let's say, break that down, you have 4 week lead time. So let's say I'm starting this on the 10th of May. It's about 4 weeks away. I would spend the next week or two doing engagement pieces to interact with the audience on the gym floor, with the surveys, the questionnaires, gathering details. From that information I've gathered, I'll start to then kind of go, okay, what is this paid group going to do for people based on what they're looking for, what they're wanting, what they're struggling with, et cetera. So that's what the paid option is going to be. And then use the next 2 weeks to constantly deliver value to people, communicate to people, interact with them, create some excitement, some curiosity about this fantastic group that's coming up that they can opt into. And then at least like maybe 7 to 10 days worth of calls to action to opt into the group, for example. So that's your marketing campaign, which is organic and free. The way that would become paid is if you stick some advertising behind it, some Facebook ads, et cetera, et cetera. Hopefully that helps, mate. Love this question. Should you overreach a little when it comes to your business plan, or is it better to play it safe?
In my opinion, you should overreach, yes. And then if you fall short, 9 times out of 10, you've gone past the expectations of playing it safe anyway. So, yeah, I would 100% overreach. Yeah, I ain't got much else to say about that. I think it's a wise decision to do that. And hopefully, because a lot of people will turn around and go, yeah, but if you make it too unrealistic, it doesn't become motivating because it seems too unrealistic to achieve. But that's up to you to really break. It can't just be like, here's a goal that's so far away. The whole point is then to break that down into process-based goals of getting towards that overreaching target. So yes, if it's an overreaching target and you've put that in there and there's no process-based goals broken down, there's no point in doing it. Like, there's no point overreaching. But if you're going to overreach, put some processes in place to hit that number or to hit that, whatever it is that you're trying to achieve, that core value, whatever it is, then absolutely overreach. But I'll let you add on to that if you want to, Nick.
No, I think the goal's got to scare you a little bit. It's got to have that apprehension behind it a little bit. Not apprehension, but good stress, I guess, you know? It's very natural to play it safe. It's very natural to play it safe. But I agree with everything Ant said there. There's got to be an element of pressure. And crucially, when you're writing those goals out and you're really doubling down on understanding what they are, also understand what that's going to give you. You know, that's the big thing. That's the big motivator. Yeah, that's all I'd add.
Well, best piece of advice for staying consistent with social media. I find it takes up a lot of my time and I want to keep it going when gyms reopen and I become even busier in business. Good question.
Sure. Yeah. It's all about setting up a system, getting systems in place, getting processes in place, getting a routine in place, and looking at that. I would say now, looking at it now as if you were in the gym. So instead of having, for example, a lot more flexible time right now, kind of think to yourself, right, when I go back into the gym, what is my schedule going to look like? What time does that leave me? Whether you have a couple of hours each week to do it, whether you maybe use this time to get a good couple of weeks content ahead so that when the gym's open, you know, you've got that kind of to give yourself some leeway. Daily non-negotiables of whether it's first thing in the morning, whether it's at lunchtime, whether it's it, I think it comes down to more scheduling and managing your time. And that's something you can do right now to set you up for when you go back into the gym. The second thing is that recognize what is taking the time. What's taking the time? Is it thinking of things to do to create? If that's the case, right, that means we need to put a process together to gather the information off the clients you've already got, off what people are telling you, so that it's a little bit quicker and easier. The second thing is the time taken up by designing stuff and making it look nice and blah, blah, blah. If that's the case, two options: outsource it to someone, or the second one, have a bit of a mixture where it doesn't have to be, everything doesn't have to be polished, everything doesn't have to look absolutely bang on all the time. Like, remember what you're doing it for. You're doing it to create attention for potential clients, to help your prospects. And if that means that maybe a couple of days of the week, you're literally jumping on stories in front of a camera and adding a quick caption, which takes a lot less time than maybe designing something on Canva or doing an infographic, then I think recognize what's taking that time. If you worked in a local private gym, how would you go about marketing yourself in the local area?
That's a good question. I did this back in the day without social media, so it was very much, we used to do, as it's really sad as this sounds, like appointment drives at lunchtime and handing flyers out and doing stuff on the street, like boot camps on the street and all of that type of stuff. So, and I you know what, I probably still would do that now. So First of all, you need to let the local area know that you're coming. So I would outsource all of the local groups on Facebook that are there, potentially start to have a look into that. I would have a look into like local papers to see if you can get some awareness in there. I would do some local potentially awareness and ads maybe to let people know that you are coming as a personal trainer, and do some, just push loads of awareness out there at first, not assuming to get much back. So there's some intent, and then there's some intent behind that marketing where you start to, I don't know, do the same stuff as you would do on the gym floor, which is potentially start to look at putting some challenges together, some groups together, look at boosting social media, email lists, all of that type of stuff. So drive intent behind your marketing, the same as you would do a gym floor in a commercial gym, all of that type of stuff. And then going back to the stuff that I said before, the old school stuff that absolutely works is going in and around that area of the local gym, introducing yourself to local businesses, potentially maybe getting in touch with their HR departments or the departments in there, seeing if you can go in and maybe do a talk on nutrition, maybe do some sessions, maybe do different talks and seminars, invite them to the gym. Like, I'd get myself known in and around that area as much as I possibly could, to generate that level of awareness, but always have intent behind it. So if I'm going after corporate males or corporate females within the area, I know what they're up against and all the problems, frustrations, the fears, the barriers, the pain points, all of that. So I'm going to drive my marketing towards something intentful that brings them into my business. So it's not too dissimilar that if you were marketing yourself from a commercial gym at all. In fact, it's more or less the same. But the only thing I would do, and I would do this if I was in a commercial gym as well, is make sure that I am known in and around that local area and reaching out into businesses and and local little shops and stuff like that. That's what I would say. Anything you'd add, Nick? It's exciting, that though. Like, I never thought I'd like that side of the job, but like going out 12 to 1 and doing a boot camp in the middle of Albert Square in the middle of Manchester, with the music blaring and all of that type of stuff. Obviously, you have to get your council passes and shit like that, but it's such a good laugh, right? It's such a good laugh. Like, that type of stuff really generates awareness. Yes, we were doing it more so for awareness of the gym, but still off the back of it, as a byproduct of it, we all got new clients from it. So, yeah. Next question. Do you have any interactive lead generation ideas for the gym floor? And do you have gym floor-based challenge ideas?
Yeah, I would.
Yep, thanks. Right, let's think.
This is the stuff we're saying in our sleep, I reckon, isn't it? We've said it that much.
Yeah. Okay. Meet and greets, PT points, supervised areas. So with those, I would cycle through a few. So let's say I've got an hour on the gym floor. I'd spend the first 10, 15 minutes of that hour doing meet and greets at the entrance of the gym. Just literally kind of manning that area, kind of, hi, morning, blah, blah, blah. I'd then spend the next 20 minutes of picking an area of the gym where I know my demographic's going to be more than likely, and making that kind of like mentally cornering that area off and kind of going, right, I'm going to supervise this area. And then following up on those people that you've said hello to. So, hi, I'm Nick the trainer. I'm supervising this area for the next kind of half an hour. If you need any help with anything, please let me know. What was your name? And nice to meet you, have a good workout. And do that constantly for 20 minutes. I'd then go back, do that kind of cycle again. The aim here is to break down barriers for you personally of approaching people, making it easy for yourself. You're introducing yourself to someone, making them known, making yourself known to them, learning names. So again, when you're following up on conversations and when you're going into maybe the next time the following week or the following couple of days. You do a survey, you've just met 50 to 100 people in a couple of days where they're much more, they know you, you know their name. It's going to make that approach a lot easier and a lot more accepting and a lot more approachable on both parties. So you could follow it with a survey. You could follow that survey up with some specific hints and tips. You could get them onto your social media off the back of that, et cetera, et cetera. So those are some simple, simple things that you should always, like, always do. So that's the dead simple ones. For when it comes to challenges on the gym floor, there's a couple of considerations, and it does depend on your market. It does depend on your market, what activity you would do. So as an example, if you're after, your market is females, for example, I might do something like an accountability challenge. It might be setting up a 30-day legs, bums, and tums challenge, or worded slightly something different, where that is a combination of on the gym floor, being accountable to come in and do the workout, setting the workouts up, maybe through a Facebook group. You could do a plank challenge where the most improved wins X. If it's for males who want to get bigger and stronger, then obviously the challenge would probably relate to them. Improving your deadlift and your bench by X amount in 30 days or whatever it is. So I think your challenge has got to be relevant to the market. Lead gen ideas, we could roll off loads, giving out food diaries, doing food alternative desk, doing some form of, you could do warm up, cool down stations, stretching stations where it's socially distanced because it could be a follow along. You could do raffles, you could do guess the calories in this food. There's loads of shit, isn't there?
Yeah, the only reason I was laughing is I remember for like a marketing campaign I did once at Fitness First, I placed myself at the center of the reception so everyone come past, and we don't play your calories right, and I dressed up as Bruce Forsyth and taped a massive pin to myself. I was just thinking, laughing at him. But that actually went down a storm for a month, that did.
Yeah,
it was good. Next question, recommended software for checking response. Is this my question or yours? I'm lost the plot now. Recommended software for checking responses, i.e. Loom Zoom. Sounds like a fucking kids program, that, doesn't it? Loom Zoom. Or any others?
That's your question.
Is it? I've just asked it to myself. Fucking hell. Mate, I think just go and have a look at them all and see what you want it to do. Screen-O-Matic is another one. So I'd say Loom, Zoom, Screen-O-Matic, they're the three that seem to be most popular. You can't go wrong with Zoom, if I'm dead honest. I think the difference with Loom and Screen-O-Matic is that you can start to save all your software, all of your check-ins in one place. You've basically got it all backed up, and you can send it directly to them. You don't have to necessarily download an MP4, potentially put it onto a YouTube link, and the process of the Zoom sending it over can be a little bit longer. I'd say just have a look at them all. But it depends how many you're doing it for, because if it's only for 3, 4, 5 people, for example, or up to 10, I'd probably say Zoom's great for it, because if it's short 10, 15 minute stints, you can just fire the MP4 over to them as long as their email accepts a file that big. But other than that, Loom and Screen-O-Matic are brilliant because everything's in one place. It's really difficult to say. I'd need to know how many it's for, all of that. But yeah, They all do the same job, but just slightly different. Last question, I think. And I think it's a really good question to end on. So make sure you answer it well, Nick. All right. There is so much information out there. It starts to get overwhelming with podcasts and courses. How do you focus your attention? He's having a good think about this one.
I think it's, I think there's kind of general info where you can, you listen because you enjoy it and you listen because you want to kind of grow some understanding. When it comes to prioritizing, when it comes to prioritizing, like what you're actually studying, now there's a difference between learning and learning to apply. So I would start to differentiate general kind of learning and kind of widening your kind of perspective rather than knowledge. And there's learning to apply, which should be directly off the back of what you want, how you want to improve your service for your clients, which comes back from feedback from clients. So I would 100% definitely kind of double down on those things in regards to really kind of trying to identify like the not the skill gaps, but the areas of your business where you want to improve to apply, which will bring more value to your business, better results for your clients, etc. So that is something that I would definitely sit down and identify, like have like your, just like you do with just like you do with your clients, they have different stages of training and coaching. So I think the same thing applies for you, is that when you're kind of looking at maybe your month-end review, and you're looking at like the results and the challenges with your clients and the questions you're being asked, I think then it's kind of an opportunity to look at maybe some learning blocks for the following month to help fill those gaps. That's the only practical, that's the practical way I can think about it. And maybe just, maybe just take a step back a second and kind of just think as well about, you're not ever going to know everything. You're not going to be an expert in every area. You're not going to be able to draw upon that research like someone else does, or remember that book they read, or, you know, and that's why I think doubling down on what's going to bring value to your business will help differentiate that a little bit and help to filter. Anything you'd add, Anthony?
No, I kind of, yeah, I agree with like the majority of what you said. I'm just trying to, obviously I'm trying to put it in a practical way of, I agree, it's very overwhelming. You can get really lost. I'm sure there's a lot of people will resonate that you'll start a book and you'll get into it and then you've missed it out for a week, and then you gradually don't finish the book, and you started a podcast and you walked, finished early, so you've not got to the end of it and you don't pick it back up again. And then you're thinking about, you want to strengthen in nutrition and you look for courses and you never really apply it. So there is so much out there that it is overwhelming. So I completely agree. And I just echo what Nick said in regards to just checking in with yourself and probably, you know what, even doing an old school SWOT analysis on yourself, your business and all of that. Like Nick just said, reflecting on what you're really strong at and you know you can tick over with, and what are your weaknesses and opportunities going forward. And then within the weaknesses and opportunities, you can start to establish key themes. And then within the key themes, you can then maybe buy a book from it, who's what's in there around them topics and areas. You could potentially look at courses and so on. So just that gives you that direction for your learning if you do that. And then, you know, like Nick's just said, in them learning blocks that you might do 6 to 12 weeks, just focusing on, I don't know, finding out more about how I can listen better to clients, how can I communicate better to clients, that type of stuff. or finding out a little bit more about nutrition or the best course that's out there. Because that then, if you go through that stage of say 6 to 8 to 10 to 12 weeks of just focusing in on that one specific topic, you're obviously going to go across the year with probably 3 or 4 things that you're going to become a lot more well-versed on, instead of just dipping in and out of certain areas and certain things. So I think that's a really huge thing for you. And I think this is another reason why we're so pro goal setting and business planning, because if at the start of the year you've done something like that, you've already started to identify, right, what are my 3 or 4 areas that I really want to improve on this year? It's communicating, coaching, listening, nutrition, right? First quarter, I'm going to concentrate on that. Second quarter, this, that, which might mean you do 2 courses and read even just 2 or 3 books a year. And you know what? That's absolutely more than enough. And then you filter in and around that some enjoyable listening to podcasts and stuff like that, that you can enjoy and not worry too much about. Oh my God, have I took that down? Because I always do that when you're out walking and stuff like that, or you might be listening to a podcast whilst you're training or running, like making sure that you're getting it all in, because there's some really, really good content in there to be able to then go off and research it more or apply it more. So at least then you've got your backyard in order, that you've got at least 3 or 4 things that you're absolutely going to learn a year. I think that really helps. But I agree, it is very overwhelming, which is why you need as much structure as possible. Yeah, hopefully that helps. Lots to get stuck into. Lots of different subjects and topics this week. Really, 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 really good. Cool. Happy days. All right. So if you're listening on the podcast, we have gone live for the next intake of the PT Business Transformation Program. So as of yesterday, the 12th of April, we will now be open to accepting applications to come into the next program. That will be happening on the 10th of May. So if you want to improve your marketing, your lead generation, your time management, your understanding of your business, your confidence, your clarity and direction of where you want to go, your client results, an understanding of coaching, motivational interviewing, adherence and accountability for your clients, pricing your service better. Literally, we cover it all in 6 weeks. So you can inquire if you go to my bio, or our bio, should I say, on Instagram. There's an inquiry form there, and then we will send you more information about the program. Pitch complete, Nicholas. Pitch complete.
Gosh.
And we hope you have a good rest of the week. And if you have any questions that you want us to answer, as always, DM me on Instagram and I will answer your questions on here for the podcast. Guys and girls, we're done. Nicholas, see you in 15 minutes.